Hey, welcome to the Pachanga and Possibility Podcast, the podcast where we celebrate the power of healing and transformation. I am your host, Natalie Calzadilla. Each week, I'll be interviewing experts that will inspire you to discover your soul's purpose and create a fulfilling life. I'll also be sharing some spiritual coaching along the way and personal adventures as I enter this new phase in my life as a mother and entrepreneur. All right, mi gente, grab your cafecito and a notebook. Let's get started. Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode. On today's show, we have special guest Kim Malley. She is an expert when it comes to pendulums and also Reiki and light therapy. So I met Kim at Esmeralda's Earth, Wind, and Fire down in Miami, close to Homestead, at this metaphysical store through her sister who owns Earth, Wind, and Fire. And I was fascinated by her because she teaches pendulum work. And I never knew that pendulums, well, I know they're a thing, but I didn't know that they were a thing to the point that there's many levels of doing pendulum work. So I was like, wow, this is so in depth. I had no idea that you can do so much with this and that there's trainings and there's lots to this. It's not just this little thing. And Kim Malley is a Reiki master of light therapy. Her training in light therapy allows her to be a beacon of love and light for those she works with. She can help eliminate unnecessary patterns and or facilitate your journey to the path that your divine self is destined to enjoy. Welcome, Kim. I'm so excited to have you and to talk about this topic. How are you doing?
I'm doing really well, Natalie. Thanks for having me on.
Of course. So tell us in your own words a little bit about yourself and how you've gotten into this path as a healer and working with Reiki and the pendulum. And how did you just fall into all of this deliciousness?
So I've always been fascinated by the genre, whether it was psychics or cards or spiritual or even outward vampires and werewolves and spells and magic and all that type of genre. So I've always been fascinated. And I would always seek out some sort of palm reader or card reader at any carnival I've ever went to. I also knew from a very early age things that I was being told or listened to didn't sit right with me, but I couldn't figure out why, because my family only believed in one way. So even if I questioned it, it was more or less I was going against the grain. When I got older, I took a social class in college, Professor Roach de Copens. His class was such an eye-opener to just people. He said, please go see a psychic. But never go because you have a question to answer. Just go for the fun of it. Always just go and have a great time. And I always took that then after college, and I would go out anywhere. And the funny thing is that some of them would literally come out of their tents at carnivals and like walk right up to me and say, hey, can I read you? And so I just went with it. Then I had my kids, and I'm still fascinated, you know, angels and spirit world and ghosts and all that stuff fascinated me. I was never afraid of it. And I saw an article in an adult school, and this woman was teaching past lives. And so I asked my friend Jean, would you go with me? And we went to her class, and it was all about past lives and clearing patterns. And her name was Ida Diaz, which ended up being my teacher. And we were fascinated by her. Like she had a pendulum at the time. We had no idea what it was. We called it a rock on a chain because we didn't know what it was. And she, at the end of the class, we were just like, what do you, you know, where are you? And can we come? And she's like, yeah, it was a word of mouth. And we just started in all her classes. And I started in Reiki 1 and simultaneously did Chakra 1. And then as we progressed through, she did Pendulum 1. She always worked the pendulum. And we took Pendulum 1. And then we went through you know, Reiki 3 and Reiki 4 and Light Therapy 5 and then Chakra 2 and 3 and 4 and 5. And the path just went pendulum 2. And we took that and then just kept going. And when I passed, when I finished all of the light therapy classes, I didn't necessarily know I wanted to be a teacher, so to speak, because my mindset was teaching school kids, and I'm done with that. But I realized that at a cellular soul level, I am a teacher. I've always taught. I've taught people how to braid their hair, how to dye their hair. I've taught people how to drive cars. I've taught people how to knit, crochet. I mean, I'm always a teacher. So I finally was like, fine, I have the ability. I'm going to teach my first Reiki class. And then from there, Mary Jo, I call her Mary Jo. You guys call her MJ. She opened up the store and she again was like, you need to come down here because people are using, they're buying pendulums and they're buying them with the pendulum pads that they sell with them. And they're using them universally. I was like, okay, let me put this together. And I just took my teachings from my teacher, started teaching pendulum one. So that's how it happened.
That is so cool. And I love that it's so unique because I've been in the metaphysical world now for a while and you don't come across pendulum classes ever. That's very specific. And that's why I was so fascinated. Now, how many levels of pendulum classes are there?
My teacher, Ida, only taught two. So pendulum one is the basic. It's you learn your yes, no. You learn how to protect yourself. It's like the basic 101, how to do it. And then when you become more intuitive, Reiki master, a shaman, when you really get into the depths of spiritual and you can start talking to spirit, then there's pendulum two. And pendulum two then allows the facilitator to actually go into past lives and clear past life healing and get rid of entities and clear houses.
Do you have prerequisites for pendulum two? Do they have to be either a Reiki master or a shaman or some things, you know, of that nature where you kind of vet them?
So the nice part about being a Reiki master or a shaman is that you have tools behind you to literally solidify what you do in pendulum two. So people talk about shadow work, right? Healing yourself. And I equate this to, yes, it works. So if you pray on something and you figure out your shadow work and you figure out what's wrong with your patterns and you pray and you do it and you keep going, eventually you'll clear it because that's what we're supposed to be doing, right? You're rewiring your brain. When Reiki masters are given symbols and shamans are given the tools to connect to spirit, then when they go into pendulum two, not only then are they clearing a path, but then they're using their tools and their symbols to seriously solidify it and put it to an end, where somebody who's intuitive, somebody who, you know, knows the world, the spirit world out there, and they're comfortable with it, they would take that much longer to get to that end because they're not able to stop it. They're not able to shut the door, so to speak. Not that they can't, but it's faster if you have the tools and the symbols behind you.
And when you say shut the door, you mean?
Close that pattern so it doesn't come back because we all have free will. So you could take it back. But the odds, if a Reiki master or a shaman solidify it and put those symbols on it, the odds are you won't because it'll come to you and you'll be like, wait, I'm pretty good right here. I did this. So if you're not in that way and they're not stopped, then you end up in that pattern and say maybe an hour later or a week later, you go, oh, wait, I think I took that back, right? Because that's not what I wanted to do. So it just makes it easier for that person's pattern to be ended. It's easier for those entities not to come back because they're putting sacred symbols or using their mantras or their chants to make sure that nothing comes into that space. Right.
Gotcha. Yeah. That's kind of like their vibration is high enough yes. at that point mm-hmm. that they can kind of choreograph the energy better.
Yeah. That gives them a sense too, when they're, the higher you go in any one of those spiritual levels, truly the more humble we become. So you're less risk than to be your ego to take over.
I love that you said that. that's an episode in itself. It's absolutely. Talking about ego, right?
right. We want the ego out of it.
Yes. Yeah. And it comes, and I want to touch on this also a little bit in a little while, but about using it responsibly. Yeah. But before we dive into that, because that I'm a huge advocate for using intuitive work very ethically, because I have met many people who use it unethically, and it really gets under my skin. And I think it's a lack of education sometimes. And so the more we can educate the public about using these things, energy work and intuitive work ethically, and what that means, then we're definitely like helping the situation. Right. In Pendulum One, so for example, what would students use the pendulum for? How is this a therapeutic tool?
So it starts out with just your basic learning how to use the pendulum and what it is and why it's been around since the 16th century. Not so much a healing modality, but it actually is giving you your yes and your no, so that, or you're not allowed to know, because that's important too. What those pendulum pads don't tell you, they tell you a yes and a no. But they don't really tell you that it's none of your business. Like, you're not allowed mm-hmm. to know this. There's certain things you just, it's not for you. It's not for you to ask. And if you don't have that tool, you may be asking things that you're not supposed to be asking for. So
even if it's in regards to yourself, sometimes there's still things you're not allowed to ask. Or is that sometimes. Just when you're asking about another person?
Sometimes it could be yourself. So if I ask a question like, am I allowed to know the test results? Okay. So yes or no, more than likely it's none of my business at this point, because it's not even happening. Right. And why would I, if I get a yes, and in that moment I'm like really happy and I'm really excited, and then it turns around and that test comes back and it's like a no, then like what, why I was wrong? Well, no, it happened right in that moment. So it's better off for those types of things, you know, not to know. Or sex of a baby. I mean, everybody knows that, but you're just like, mm-hmm. Do I, you know, am I allowed to know the sex of the baby? Probably not. No. I'm got off you. Top of my head. But yeah, so you're yes and no. It's actually learning how to ask questions for yourself and others for those questions in the moment. And most of the questions are the ones that you're like, I could go, maybe not. I don't know. I don't really know the answer. I would be happy either way. Well, then we let divine handle it. We say, okay, my higher self, I'm going to tap into my higher self. And I want to know for the good of my own, what is the best for me? Is it a good idea for me to do this? And then the pendulum gives you that yes or no, because you're tapping into your higher self, and it's your higher self that knows it all. Right. So, then your higher self will say yes. Right. But I've also had yeses and it's come out and there's something going on. Like, is it a good idea for me to take Route 95 to Florida, or is it a good idea for me to take Route 81 and I get 95? And then we sit in traffic for an hour, right? And people are like, well, you know, that wasn't really good. And I think, well, yes, it was, because what happened in that hour? Within that hour, we got to talk. Like, there was a whole conversation that happened. So training people and for understanding that, even if your answers don't come into fruition because of what you thought you wanted, there's obviously something there that made you get that yes. And that's practice. That's education. That's getting them to learn more beyond what it is. You can't just take it for face value, because even if you get a yes and it turns out that, I don't know, you get a flat tire. So let me just say that. So you say yes and you end up with a flat tire and like, oh, great. The pendulum doesn't work. No, it worked. What happened?
Right. It was meant for you to get a flat tire. There was some sort of lesson, some purpose. And
absolutely. Yeah. And if you would have taken the other route, you never would have gotten the flat tire. And whatever happened in that sequence never would have happened. So it's, you know, if you're supposed to be there and you're meant to be there, you're going to be there. And the pendulum in that respect in one helps you get those yes, no's. Yeah.
Are there any questions that are off limits?
In pendulum, basically, yeah, snooping in other people's business. That would probably be the number one ethical no-no. It's just not important. There's no reason for it. No reason at all.
Exactly.
I mean, we teach it. We tell you that. But now you have this tool that's a yes and a no, and your higher self is saying it. And so caution, that's a big thing. And they, you know, I have a pendulum pad that I show people, like, this is what the commercial says, but I don't have the instructions if it comes with that. I don't know that, but it's really important to know ethically that it's not a circus toy, you know, it's yes. A true spiritual dowsing. It's been around forever, and you can't go into the affairs of other people.
Exactly. There's still boundaries that you have to respect.
Correct.
Just like if you were in person, you can't snoop in person. Correct. Much less energetically. Absolutely.
Correct. Correct. Yeah. Things that people don't even know, the energy field, you know, there are people, I've seen people who don't take a pendulum class, or take a pendulum class, but not from my teaching. And I'm like, wow, you're like within your auric field. Like, how can you even keep that? How do you know that that's a yes? Because your aura, your energy field is reacting to it. Or you're next to a computer and your, you know, electromagnetics change things that happen all the time. So you're getting a response and you're thinking that it's your higher self, but it may be reacting to the electromagnetic or to your aura because you're like, you're using it so close to your body. And people don't know that. They don't understand that. So
when you use a pendulum, you should not use it close to your body and you shouldn't use it near any electronics.
Correct.
Oh, see, yeah, people, I didn't know that. Mm-hmm. Interesting. Correct. Especially the using it too close to your body. I had mm-hmm. no idea.
Yeah, because your auric field, your energy is going to interfere with that answer.
That makes sense. What's the recommended distance then?
I use my elbow to my fingertips. So elbow, I'm gonna stand up. That would be my online class. Elbow to fingertips outside your aura. I mean, even a hand outside would be better, but outside.
Okay. I can see her, you guys, but yeah. You can't. But she's holding her arm like straight out pretty much is the safest way.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Although your arm might get tired. So bringing it in at least where your elbow meets like your hip.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Your side. Okay.
Yeah.
Fascinating. So what are ways that you can use it? You get yes, no, but you've also mentioned that you can use it within a Reiki session.
Mm, okay. Mm-hmm. So I use it in a Reiki session to go down the client's body. And I tell it, I say, okay, let me know if there's a spot somewhere on the body that needs extra Reiki. So what I have trained mine to do is for Mayan to swing. It's not a yes, no. I just, the swinging of it tells me there's something here. And then if it's still, then it's a neutral. And so people who have intuition, which is an awesome thing, and that Reiki brings that out, they can instinctively then put their hands right on the body and be told that. But pendulum also will allow you to go through and douse, because that's what it's originated from, is a dousing tool. You're dousing for those spots on the body that need extra servicing, extra care. So I use it in that respect during a Reiki session.
Do you go by the chakras, or are you just going over the whole body and not specifically over the chakras only?
So both. I think that that's a personal choice depending on who taught you Reiki, because some teachers of Reiki teach a certain way, you know, as you're laying on the bed. There are Reiki positions to be had, don't get me wrong, but when you're there, both. You can look at all the chakras and figure out which way the pendulum is going. And that's not a yes, no, that's an opposite. So if the pendulum swings, whatever way it swings, for me, my teaching, it's circle, line, circle, line, circle, line. So if it's if it goes in that nice pattern, then you're balanced chakras. But if it goes circle, circle, line, then you're out of whack. And then it would tell me because it's not a nice pattern. So both chakras and then through the body.
Interesting. So let's say I want to buy a pendulum. Mm-hmm. What are the things that I should look for? How do I use it? How do I test it? How do I know it's right for me? Because I didn't even know that was a thing until I read your class description.
Yeah. So the first thing you want to do is by sight, what feels good? You look at something. Most people go to gemstones. That's because they're beautiful, right? And that's what most of the stores have are gemstones. So you take a gemstone and you pick it up off the tree, because most of them are in trees, and you hold on to it. And you just see, it doesn't feel really good for you. Do you get anything from it? You may and you may not. After that, you hold it over the palm of your hand. So whatever your non-dominant hand is, because you're always going to use your pendulum in your dominant hand. So I'm right-handed. So if I pulled the pendulum off the tree, then I would hold it over my non-dominant hand. And if it swings in a circle, then that is a good connection of a pendulum that's good for you in that moment. If, and I'm going to force it to swing because all my pendulums are working for me. This one is my class one. So this one works for me. When I tell it to do it wrong, it does it. So this one would be wrong because the pendulum is slicing my hand. And it's slicing, it could slice it diagonally, or I'm telling it now, slice it back and forth. So either way, if it slices across, thank you, or if it slices, thank you, diagonally, then that pendulum in that moment is not for you. Or if it doesn't even move, thank you. Right. So if it just stands completely straight, then that is not a good pendulum for you in that moment. Not that you could never go back and get it. But if you're first buying a pendulum and your pendulums, you take them off and they don't do anything for you, then that's not a good pendulum for you at that time. And you just look. Some people like metals, some people like wood, copper, silvers. You know, I have a gamut of them. But you always want a chain too, and no less than 6 inches.
And you always hold it at the top, the little ball that it comes with at the end of the chain?
Okay. Yep, always at the top, very light hold. Yep. Yeah.
What if you want to shop online? Because now that we're in COVID land, is there a strategy for shopping online, or we just kind of go with what feels right online and pray that the pendulum likes you when it gets to your house?
Yeah. So in that respect, yeah, I've had people who have seen a pendulum and thought of me and bought it. And then they came to me. In fact, I had a bloodstone somebody gave me, and they're like, oh, this is for you. And I got you. And I pulled that thing out and it came through the mail. Nothing, dead. I never could use it. Turned out it was for a friend of mine at school. She had forgotten her pendulum or lost it. And she came in and she's like, you know, I lost my pendulum and I really want, I go, oh, I have one you can use. And she pulled it out and the thing was like, wah!
Wow.
I was like, oh, so now it's yours. And so that's how it came to me. But if that's the case, unfortunately, yeah, you kind of just have to either
give it trial and error. The nice thing is that they're not that expensive on Amazon, and you can probably swing of buying a few of them and see, you know, which one wants to talk to you or is driving with you at the moment. And it's not a forever thing.
Right.
It's just for the moment, it's just not connecting.
Correct. Because eventually, I mean, I never thought I was a pendulum whore, but I counted them.
Pendulum whore. I know there's crystal whores. Pendulum whores is a whole other.
So I probably have, I don't know, 15 to 20 now pendulums since I started. And some of them are do-it-yourselves, you know, that I've made out of, you know, crystals and fishing wire because I was someplace that I needed one, like knitting and crocheting. Mm-hmm. And I didn't have it and I was too lazy to go by purse and get it. So I just pulled what I had, put it together and said, oh, can I use you? And they're like, yeah. So it's always now my knitting and crocheting pendulum. So, you know, but again, you know, once you get one, you'll find yourself really enjoying them. And the nice thing about Esmeralda's is that she'll do a virtual tour with you. So you can call on their iPhone and FaceTime and she'll virtual. And if you like something, then she'll be able to tell you if it's a connection for you. So that's a nice way to do
it. That's right, because I forgot. You can do proxy work with, just like Reiki, you can do proxy work with pendulums and she can test it on your behalf.
Absolutely.
While they're shopping.
Yeah.
Ah, very cool. Yeah. I wonder, that's cool. So, okay, if you guys are wanting to buy a pendulum, then you got to check out Esmeralda's Earth, Wind, and Fire on Instagram. Mm-hmm. And you can set up a phone call and then they can shop for a pendulum. That's very cool. I love the video aspect of that and the testing, how personal.
Yeah.
And it's legit too, guys. You can proxy.
Yeah.
Test the proxy. So that's totally valid. Great. So how has it helped you with your own personal healing and transformation journey using this pendulum work?
So I like that the questions, like they're like confirmations for me. I like that aspect of using the pendulum and having that intuitive belief or that intuitive answer work out correctly. I like that. I like the trust issue of the pendulum. I like having that ability. Right now I don't see and hear. I ask all the time, okay, I'm ready to see and hear. Sometimes I think I see shadows and sometimes I think I hear something or maybe I just know it. But my pendulum is like my sight. And I love that. Someone once told me that. Don't be, you know, why are you worried about seeing and hearing when you have such a beautiful gift with the pendulum and that's your sight? And I was like, ooh, okay. I like that. So that has helped me in a lot of stuff, like buying stuff, you know, wants and needs. You know, do I really want that skein of yarn that costs $50? So is it a good idea? So I'll ask, is it a good idea for me to buy that skein of yarn for whatever I wanted it for? Yes or no? And get a yes, have at it, do it. You know, whatever happens, happens, because I got a yes. But if it's a no, then it's a no. Then it's not for me at this time, right? So I like that aspect. I like getting down right to it during a Reiki session. I like being able to just go through and almost like pulling the needle right out of the haystack for me. Tell me where I'm going. Once I get there, then let you all come and tell me what I'm doing there without just going in blindly. Not that going in blindly is a wrong thing. I'm just saying you asked it for me. And that's what I like about that. You know, as a mom, I also enjoyed the taking the worry out with my kids. So we all, how many times did they say, don't worry, don't put that out there. They're going to be fine, whatever. And as a mom, you do. I don't know, wherever that switch is. So it was nice when they were growing up to really, I don't go down the rabbit hole. Like just, I take it out and I'm just like, okay. Am I allowed to ask questions about one of my kids? Yes. Okay. Is it a good idea for me to think that they are, you know, in trouble or they're in the wrong? No. Okay, good. I'm off. Like, then I'm good. Then it like takes that worry right out of my mind because I'm done. I don't have to go back. I don't have to ask the question anymore. And 99% of the time, they are great, right? And I don't have to worry. So
I think you just saved me like 20 years of grief because
exactly.
Now with my baby girl and you know, you always worry about, oh my God, when they're teenagers and what are you to do and the worry and if you're already have an anxious disposition. So you just saved me a lot of anxiety.
Exactly.
I've never heard it being used in that way. And that's amazing.
Yeah. Well, my kids were little when I started this journey. I think they were 4, 5, and 7, maybe at the time. Maybe even younger, because I read Sylvia Brown, and Sylvia Brown kind of took me like, oh, past life, go into the baby's room and say this little prayer over their head and it'll relieve their past lives. And I used to do that, just walk in while they were sleeping. So they were little. And so as they grew up and I began using the pendulum even more, it does save a lot, because we could just spiral into the abyss with,
yes,
oh, worry and where are you and what's going on. I mean, yeah, you have GPS on your phone now, but let me tell you, sometimes the GPS put my kids in the middle of, you know, the river.
Oh my God.
I'd be like, oh, you're in the Hudson River right now? Right.
Oh no.
Right. So is it a good idea to reach out and talk to them? You know, because then when they get older, they don't want your parents to creep on you. So in that respect, I'm not interfering with their lives or my kids. So that's helped. A big, you know, even with,
were there times when you got the yes, like to worry with the pendulum?
Is it a good idea to worry about them right now? Yes. Then the next question, cause it's all about questions too. That's what your people need to be taught in a class. So then you follow up on those questions. Okay. Well, is it a good idea for me to, let's go down the rabbit hole. Is it a good idea for me to call the police? Right? Because our parents would be like, oh my God, they're in trouble. Yes or no? No. Oh, okay. Is it a good idea for me to text them? And then you would be able to text them, not in such an angry, like, what are you doing? But more like, hey, what's going on? Right. It kind of gives you a map on how to gear so that they don't feel violated, you know? But they could come back and say, hey, stop creeping on me, but.
Now you were going to mention COVID. Pendulum.
So for me, during this whole time, questions, you know, people are just like, oh, don't go. I understand why people don't want to go somewhere. So I can only for myself. So I'd say, okay, with all this going on, is it a good idea for me to go back to school? Yes or no? Yep, it's a good idea for me. Great. Then I'm good. Then I believe that. Then I'm okay. I'll wear my mask. I take my temperature going in. I'm going to school. Like that. Then I'm okay. If I got a no, well, then I would have worked remotely. I didn't really care one way or another whether we did or not. But is it okay for me? Is it a good idea for me to teach in school? Yep, it's a good idea. So
what about, can you ask if you have COVID?
So it's not a matter of asking if it's have, it's a matter of asking if it's a good idea to believe in it, because we're never 100% accurate. I mean, that I think NASA would come to our door and say, hey, we're going to hook you up. But so you always want to ask if you believe it. Is it a good idea to believe it? Is it a good idea for me to believe that I have COVID-19? Yes or no? Because then, right, your beliefs then gear your process. So if it's a good idea to believe that you do, well, then you have to take steps to do it. Go get your test. Like, it's, to me, that's a no-brainer. But if it's a good idea to believe that I have it and the answer comes back no, then why are you worried? Like, why are we, I don't know, sheltering ourselves or hiding? Put your mask on, gloves if you have to, and do what you're supposed to do. Just do it responsibly. Come home, wash your hands. Right.
It's so important that it's the art of asking the right questions.
And
it's the questions that you ask are almost like their own modality themselves. It's almost like the art of the question. And if your answers are going to only be as good as the questions you're asking and how you're asking them. So that's so important.
Get your ego out of the way, because right. If you ask the wrong questions, I think in one of my notes, my favorite story that I tell every pendulum class is when I first started beginner, I wasn't even a pendulum 2. I was probably maybe Reiki 3, which in Mayan is a Reiki therapist, not an actual teacher, So Ida, she does Reiki 4 as a teacher. But anyway, so it was early on and I had it. And we were going away on vacation and it was right after 9/11. So everybody had to have passports. But my kids didn't have passports. So we had to go through the process and get them. So everybody had a passport but my daughter. And we're waiting and we're waiting and we're waiting. And I kept asking, is it a good idea to believe that the Barrett's passport's in the mail? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Every day. Yes, yes, yes. Okay, okay. It's in the mail. Trust. It's in the mail. We get to the day before, 24 hours before we're leaving, and that passport is still not in my mailbox in my house. So I ask, is it a good idea to believe that the passport is in the mail? That's what I asked. And I got a yes. But now she's not going with us if I don't get some sort of ID. So we have to run to Patterson and spend a whole day and get an identification card and all the stuff so that she can go. She gets it. We go to the Dominican. We come home. Bang. Passport is right there in our mailbox when we get home, right? Only to figure out, you know what? I never really asked where in the mail it was. So did I said, is it in the mail? Well, was it on its way to Texas to be processed? Was it on its way to Philadelphia to be put in a little machine so that the little chip was there? I never actually said, is it a good idea to believe that the passport is in the mail coming to my house? Is it a good idea to believe that it's in the mail today? Like, I never asked that. My question was, is it a good idea to believe it was in the mail?
Could you have asked, is it a good idea if it's in the mail and will arrive before I leave on the trip? Is that a good way of asking?
So I don't teach in Pendulum One to, I don't suggest anybody ask a future question. One, future always changes. It's unpredictable. And we all have self abilities. You know, we always, it's our own destiny. We can do our own free will. So I don't ask future questions. Not that other people can't. I don't teach it because it then you're becoming a fortune teller. So even if it was a yes, is it a good idea to believe that the passport will be in my mailbox, right? I needed to add today, right? Because will it? Sure it will. That's a future. If it's going to Texas to be processed, it still will be in my mailbox. If it's going to Philadelphia for the final paperwork, it will be in my mailbox. So I tend to tell people, don't ask future questions. Stay within the moment. That's why I say, is it a good idea to believe? Because you're right here in the moment.
So even if you ask, is it a good idea to believe that it'll arrive today, is today, because today happens later on, still like a future question?
So that's, to me, that's splitting hairs. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Is it a good idea to believe it will arrive today? Maybe. I got a confirmation. I was supposed to get a box from Joanne's. It said, your package will arrive today, right? October 22nd. Well, it's October 23rd and it still hasn't arrived, but it said it will arrive today. So if I asked, is it a good idea to believe it will arrive today? Is it picking up on an email that said it would be on today? So, but then again, if it says yes and it doesn't, then what is the issue? What is it? What there's got to be something else. It can't be that, oh, you asked the wrong question or, oh, pendulum work doesn't work. No. You got an answer based on what you asked. So whatever that outcome is, there's a reason for that outcome. And it's our, as human beings, following this path, it's our practice in trying to find out those reasons. Sometimes we never find out, right? They say, oh, you find out when you cross over. But sometimes it's a lesson and you find out later, right? Because maybe it was a trust issue. You know, I don't know that, but I tend to stay right in the moment.
That makes sense because it's true when it comes, it's important to mention that it's a tool that is not a tool for divination, like for future telling. It's like you're, it is a, like you're divining, but how would you explain it? Like up to like the present moment, but not
the future.
The future, like it's such a murky area.
So I think if you people have gifts of future, they already know that. People already are dreaming and then things come true. People are already saying something. So they're already on that path of psychic abilities. That's, to me, that's different. That's using it in that realm. So you're asking those questions, but you're already getting those answers. And like I said, not that you can't. There are people out there that are, but pendulum work is not 100% accurate. So if you start telling the future and that one person doesn't make it, right? That one person can really destroy really good work because of social media, just because you asked a question, not you personally, but I would have asked a future question, got an answer in the moment, thinking it was the future. That person goes out, the future always changes, and it didn't happen the way that I said it did. And now what? Now I'm a fraud. Now I don't. It's not working. It never works. It's kind of like The Secret, right? If everybody read The Secret, they do The Secret and they do it and it doesn't work. What do people say? Oh, The Secret's nothing. It doesn't work. You know, it's a bunch of malarkey. But no, actually, it does work. It does work. It's just that what they didn't tell you was that if you're doing it all and it doesn't work, then that means you have a block in that specific thing that you were asking for. And that block needs to be healed. Whether you do shadow work or you ask a shaman to help or a Reiki master to clear it, The Secret works. You can't say, oh, it doesn't work. It did work for me. Well, then you had a block there. So that's why I tend to tell when I teach pendulum, I tend to tell people stick with the here and now. If you want to be a future psychic person, then go and learn how to do that. And then you take the pendulum with you as a arrow for your quiver or a tool for your toolbox. But to just start out pendulum one and all of a sudden start, you know, asking future questions, I think that's irresponsible.
So that's a great segue into using it responsibly and ethically. So what are the big like no-nos? Because one thing that I do want to cover is like when you use it irresponsibly, things like portals and kind of the crazy shit that can go down. So and tell us more about that.
Okay. So, and they're innocent in that respect, right? So if you're not trained and you don't really know what your particular yes, no is, and you're going by a universal yes, no, then you're not really tapping into your own higher self. So you're not really you're not really positive on who is actually answering that question for you or who is moving the pendulum for you. So that in and of itself, you could be attracting any type of energy, not just good, but bad and not so good energy. I equate that to back in the day when people used the Ouija board and they didn't really know what they were doing. They thought it was a fun game. And the next thing you know, people were, you know, opening portals and negative energies were coming through. So that to me would be irresponsible. If you're using a universal, that means it's for everybody. It's not just you. It's not your higher self because you're using it for everybody. It's a universal yes, no. So it's really important to get your own. The other thing with the pendulum use is you really have to be careful in how you ask. And we covered this again, but it would be irresponsible to ask a question and then even in that moment, like me with the passport, to really think that that's true. Like ask yourself and double ask yourself and ask in a different way, right? MJ loses things and she's like, okay, is it in my house? Yes, it's in the house. And then she can't find it, whatever it was. She goes to the store and she's like, okay, I can't find it. Is it in the shop? Yep, it's in the shop. Okay. Well, they tear the shop apart and it's not in the shop. So it's not in the house. It's not in the shop. So she goes about her business and she goes out snake hunting and she's like, okay, is it in my house? Nope. Is it in my shop? Nope. Is it in the van? Yep. And she's just like, what? Wait, what? So it turns out the whole time it was in the pocket of the red bag that she carried from the house to the shop to the car. So
it was yes the whole time because they kept moving with her.
It was yes the whole time. And she finally boiled down to, is it in the bag? I think Katie maybe said to her mom, I think it's in the bag. And she tore the bags apart and it wasn't in the bag. But she got, yes, it's in the bag. Well, that's because she claims she never puts anything in the front pocket of the bag, ever. Because it falls out. Guess where that thing was? Front pocket of the red bag. Yeah. So it's really important. And that, again, that's for me, that's responsibility. Learn how to ask the questions. Think about what the questions are. Stay out of other people's affairs, right? Your neighbor's affairs. You have nothing to do with them. And be honest and truthful. It's never to hurt anybody. Nobody ever uses a pendulum to hurt any person or for any ill will. You know, nothing. It's always, always for the highest good. It's always for the highest, greatest good. It makes us better in our decisions. And it keeps us aligned peacefully and in love, unconditionally. It just keeps us calm. Because if we were to worry, then worry spins out. I call it going down the rabbit hole. And that's really hard to get out of.
I really love the pendulum tool as you're explaining it, because as an intuitive, it's part of that process of bringing forward messages. You have to really learn how to trust yourself, mm-hmm. and learn how to discern mm-hmm. what you're getting. And sometimes guides and spirit can be
cryptic.
Thank you. Cryptic's a great way. I was going to say that they like answer an interpretive dance. You're just like, what mm-hmm. is the answer? I'm receiving this, but I still can't understand this.
Right.
So having a tool that's literally a clear yes or no is very useful. That's so attractive and takes out a lot of the mental gymnastics, or I don't say mental because I don't want the intuition to come from the mind, but still you process it because you have to discern and separate ego from intuition, and you're constantly filtering out the information.
Correct.
So having this pendulum can really save you time and effort.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They show you a pitchfork and you're like, oh my God, yeah. Pitchfork. Why am I seeing a pitchfork? Why are you doing a pitchfork? And then so you ask, is it a good idea for me to believe that the pitchfork has something to do with this person? Yes. Oh, okay. Let's go now. Or no. They're like, okay, so pitchfork. So fork, right? Is it, oh, maybe I saw pitchfork, but because you're trying to get me to at least a fork or a shovel or something, right? Because they're that cryptic about it.
Yes. Yeah. One that I got that was hysterical, that I was really like, it was in the beginning when I was first doing my intuitive angel intuitive healing certification. And I was doing a reading for a friend of mine and they showed me Pink Panther and I can see the cartoon and the music. I was like, what does this mean? Mm-hmm. And what happened was that this person had signed up for cougar.com.
Oh no, right.
I was like, oh my God, this is hysterical. But to get to that point, and that's when you have to really, and this is a part that I hate about doing intuitive work, because you have to share the ridiculous symbols that you get sometimes to get to have that person help like clarify what you're seeing. And you're just like, I'm seeing right now Pink Panther. Does this cat mean anything to you? Yes. And you have to really trust yourself to say the weirdness. Mm-hmm. And then they're like, absolutely. And then you're like, oh, thank God.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
With a pendulum, you can kind of be more confident.
Yes. So. Right. Right. Is it a good idea for me to voice Pink Panther right now? Yeah. Does this have something to do with the actual cat? Right. It gives you that ability to weed out.
Exactly. Yes. Exactly. Continue like siphoning for the answers.
Yeah.
Why is healing and transformation important to you?
So I like healing things on myself, on my own. I find that I believe more that the body can do amazing things and it can heal itself. You know, we just have to be in harmony with it. I love the saying, you know, give a man a fish and he'll eat one day. But if you teach him how to fish, he can live and eat for a lifetime. And I think that that's right now my goal, is to get more people to believe that they don't have to stay in any type of negativity. You may have brought it with you in this lifetime. You may have had a lesson to learn in this lifetime, but you don't have to stay there. We are all spiritual beings. So if you learn how to let go of those things you brought with you and heal your inside, then every day can truly be really good, like really good. Even if you practice just for the moment, like I like using the term when someone says, how are you? It's everybody asks, right? Everybody. Some people don't even care, but they're taught to say, how are you? So if you take that one phrase and you, when you hear it, right away, do a body scan. And how are you in that actual moment? And if you're good, you don't have any ailments, there's no pain, you're not coughing. In that moment, you're walking, you're not hungry, you're not thirsty, you don't have to go to the bathroom. I'm good. And you really are good. Well, that's one more step into healing, because then the next moment you can check in again. And if you're not okay, then maybe that one triggered person say, you know, I'm glad you asked, because that person back there asked me and I was really good. But now that you asked me, I just stubbed my toe and, you know, now I'm in pain. So I'm glad you asked. So if you use that and that, just teaching them that, we can heal and, you know, not have to worry about healthcare, you know, so to speak, because you're healing yourself.
Yes. That's such a great little exercise. Just like the next time someone asks you, how are you? Just pause and do a quick body scan.
Yeah.
Just come into that present moment and check in with yourself.
Great. Yeah. And then,
yeah. I love that.
And they say, well, ask me in 5 minutes. Maybe I'll change. But right now? And so what do they say too? I can't even remember who I heard this from, but you're whatever you think you are, right? So you're conscious mind doesn't care whether you don't want something or you want something. Oh, it's probably from The Secret. They don't care. All it knows is that whatever you're passionate about, however you say it, that's what it's going to give you. Oh, so if you're like, I really don't want to get caught in the traffic, the universe is like, wow, that was a lot of passion. That was a lot of effort in there. You must really want that. And the next thing you know, you're stuck in traffic. Right.
Because you're just tuning into that frequency of traffic and then you're emitting that signal. And then the more passion, the stronger that signal is that you're emitting. And then boom, the universe is like, here you go, bumper to bumper.
Exactly. So if we can train people and educate them on truly just how to change the way you say it and the way you think it, right? I don't know. There's in my head, I'm also thinking to myself, there's a not a proverb, it's a story, right? Where the Indian chiefs, the little boy says, you know, there's a bear and there's, you know, a kitty cat or whatever. How do you know which one's going to attack? And he's like, well, it's the one you feed. If you feed the angry bear, well, the angry bear then is going to eat you. But if you feed the innocent, beautiful little kitty cat thing, well, then you're going to have this beautiful little kitty cat. So that's what the universe hears. It's our thoughts. They hear them, right? But they don't dissect. Just like we have a hard time dissecting what they give us. Mm-hmm. They don't. Oh, she used the negative form of do.
Wants that. It's like that language of frequency and the energy behind what you're saying is what really solidifies things. And they don't hear like, oh, I don't want this or so that. They just, it's whatever that vibration is. And if it's based in fear, and not in allowing or expansiveness, then yeah.
Right. So is it, you get a cold, right? Now you get a cold. You could go down the rabbit hole, but grab your pendulum. Right. Oh my, all right. Am I allowed to ask questions about my cough? Yes. Is it a good idea for me to believe that this cough is something serious? No. All right. Great. Is it a good idea for me to go to the doctor on this cough? No. All right. So then what do? You go get your lozenges, you go get your salt, put it in the water, you gargle, right? You do, I say homeopathics, but you do natural remedies, right? But if you had a cough and you got a yes, it's time to go to the doctor. Well, then get your ass to the doctor because maybe you have strep, you know, but in that respect, it really hones us down so that we don't freak out, you know. It gives us that tool not to freak out anymore.
So I need to ask. Sure. When you're asking, I see you tapping your thymus gland.
Yeah. Yeah. So again, Pendulum 101. So tapping your thymus, well, it's part of the whole tapping series, right? You can retrain your neural pathways. Tapping your thymus splits your left and right brain automatically. It removes the ego. So when you tap, the ego hightails it out of there, and you're actually now getting your higher self. It's an actual ego kicker outer.
What? That, I've been missing out on this magic button.
Yeah. So you can tap the whole time. This button here, actually, not just for pendulum work, but the more you tap it, the more vibration you become, the more blood cells regenerate. Yeah. Just by tapping the thymus. That's why EFT is such an important thing mm-hmm. too. Yeah. It's all part of the same.
That's a whole other thing. I should have an episode on that. The whole emotional freedom technique. That's the tapping.
Yeah. That's the whole, you know, and making your affirmations all the way down. Yep.
And I think body talk is like that too. I don't know if you've heard of body talk, but they do also the clearing and the tapping on the thymus gland. Yep. But I didn't know, nobody's ever explained it to me where that's also like a direct connection to your higher self. I'm just in the tap all day.
Yes, exactly.
Just tap all day.
Yeah, because it splits your left and brain. It gets it out of the way. It gets that ego right out. So your intuition and your self-confidence, whatever, that's just like one more piece that it's really your higher self, because it's your yes, it's your no, it's your higher self's no, and your ego has nothing to do with it.
That's awesome. So how can listeners get into pendulum work? What is the best way? How do they do this if they want to just learn it to practice for themselves, or if they want to become pendulum teachers? Is that even a thing that you graduate students into doing?
I don't know if there's actual pendulum. I mean, teachers, the pendulum work for me is all part of the teachings that Ida taught me. So it's all part of the Reiki, light therapy, ancestral clearing. It's all part of that. All those classes that I took from her, now that I'm teaching Reiki and light therapy, and I can teach all those classes that she taught. So pendulum one, pendulum two, chakra classes, all of them. But as far as pendulum work, there are books out there. I mean, I bought myself one, the tiny little pendulum book. It was like this little big. And there are pendulum books that people can use. Find a class. Be careful, because some people are teaching it or can teach it just because it's fun. I equate that to like an Ouija board. I think the first thing you have to do is to make sure that whoever's teaching it, they tell you it's a serious tool. I mean, it's really something to learn and to be responsible for. But if they go and they just teach it just to have fun, maybe not. Maybe not for you. Right. Because then kind of gives all pendulum users a bad name. You know, I mean, there's going to be one out there, but amongst us all. Yeah. So check with your spiritual shops. You know, check with Esmeralda's. I'm there teaching, you know, periodically. If you want a pendulum one from me, I can do Zoom. They can email me, reach out to me, Instagram, Facebook.
You also do one-on-one courses, mm-hmm. right? If somebody's really interested, they can just...
Yeah. they would
schedule something with you. That'd be absolutely great. Yeah, they might even have a couple friends that they want to do it with and just schedule like a private class with you. With correct. Them and their friends. That's right. Great.
Yeah. Pendulum One's the only one I would do on Zoom. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't do Pendulum Two on Zoom because there's a little more involved with Pendulum Two than there is One, especially with the symbols involved. But Pendulum One has been really good online. I've taught maybe now 4 times via Zoom, and it works really well. And I'm not one to say, you can only do it on this Saturday. I'm kind of like, if somebody wants it, then they get a hold of me, and that date is solidified for that person. And then I'll send the date out and say, hey, I'm actually doing a Pendulum One class on this day. Do you want to join? If they do, great. If they don't, then it's a one-on-one to the person.
How long is the Pendulum One class?
2 hours.
2 hours. Okay. That's totally doable.
Yeah, really is. Just because there's a lot of history. I say a lot. I go into history of the pendulum and why it came. It's not a new thing. Somebody just didn't design a pendulum. You know, it's been around since 16th century. So there's history in it, reasons why. And then we have to practice. You got to train it. You have to practice and you got to get your yes, no, and be comfortable with that. Right. So about 2 hours.
Do they need the board for the class, or you don't use a board at all?
No. I don't recommend anybody getting a board, only because once you learn it, then you have it in your head. So why do you need to carry around this little board everywhere you go to get an answer? You don't, because you already established your yes. You already established your no. You established you're not allowed to know. So there's no reason for you to carry around this board.
Little mat, yeah. This
little mat, yeah. Mm-hmm. I think mine has fairies on it. Somebody gave it to me.
It's like, well, here. If it has fairies, I don't know that I...
Yeah. So I show it. And I show it in class. I'm like, well, just look at this. They sell them. I'm not, you know.
For decoration, at least.
Yeah, I guess, right? Right. But I said, but once you learn it, there's no reason. Yeah. There's no reason.
Makes sense.
And I would rather people truly take a class and truly get their higher self personal yes, no, maybe, than to use a universal yes, no, maybe. Yeah.
Because
there's more to it. There's the class I do connecting rays, and I do polarity spaces, and there's a lot more to it than just picking up a pendulum and a pendulum plaid and asking, you know, a yes, no question and getting an answer. You know, there's this whole piece behind it and it's the responsibility of it as well.
Great. This has been so much fun.
I told you I can yap for a long time.
No, it's just, I love all this stuff. I just, you know, like you, I love everything in the woo, right? Yeah. Everything, all the mystical things in this world are just fascinating. And this is one of those many cool things. And you've mentioned light therapy. Now, I'm a Reiki master, but I don't know what light therapy is. And that's probably can be its own episode.
Yeah, it's beyond Reiki.
Beyond Reiki.
Yeah, it's allowing more symbols to be attuned into your frequency. And it's a lot more of your self-healing. So as we heal ourselves every level up, and we then get attuned to more symbols, then the more enlightened you become, because you're keep increasing and decreasing decreasing all of your bad stuff, and you're increasing your vibration. That's light therapy. Yeah.
So it's levels after Reiki Master.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Starts again. So my teacher Ida, when she taught Reiki, she incorporated the light therapy one symbols within the Reiki one. So by the time Reiki 4 was done at Reiki Master Teacher, then we started light therapy 5.
Gotcha.
Right. So anybody,
okay, so she did them parallel.
Correct. So anybody that took Reiki or a Reiki Masters now, they would start with light therapy 5. And then, for me, when I teach it, then I would give you all of the symbols, the light therapy symbols, up to light therapy 5. And then you'd get 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12.
Right. Light therapy goes up to 12. Oh, wow. fascinating.
Yeah, it really is. It's I find it amazing. And I always think back and I'm grateful that Ida came into my life, because I watch and I see other things and I'm like, wow, Ida taught us that. Like, that was part of, I've already been taught that in light therapy. Yeah. Not that, and it's not better than, and I tell my students that, don't get into a debate that this is better than what you got. It isn't that way, because universal healing energy is still universal healing energy. It's just adding the layers on top of it. The same probably with shamanism as well. You know, you guys know very detailed things about the earth that somebody else might not know. Doesn't make it better than, it just means that the more educated you are, the more you have a tool for your toolbox.
Isn't it great when we meet these wonderful teachers on our paths?
Yes. There's
just like so many wonderful souls and so much to learn, and they just like give you so much. It really fills up your soul, and then we can pass it and pay it forward.
Yeah. It's hard to go backwards though, right? I mean, we have free will. We certainly could, but it's hard to. I find it very hard.
Once you know better, you kind of have to do better. And it's not that you occasionally don't regress, but even the regressing is still part of like the spiral of moving forward. You're still moving through things with much more consciousness.
Right. Instead of Mount Everest climbing, you're going over the little speed bumps.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I find that, why would I want to? It's a choice, right? And the higher levels that you go, the easier the choices are. And then you just stay in highly vibe situations. So I tell my mom that a lot. I'm just like, why would I want to think that way? I have a choice to think differently. So I'm going to choose not to think that way, because that way evokes fear, sadness, you know, all those lower level vibrations. So why would I want that? That doesn't even make me feel good. I want to feel joy and happiness and awareness and acceptance. That makes me feel great. You know, that makes you want to get up and dance. The other stuff makes you want to crawl under a blanket and stay there. Yeah. And that's not a judge. That's a choice I'm making. I'm not judging anybody that's in that situation. I'm saying that I choose not to. Because I've done all this work and all these levels and all these clearings and all this personal stuff, I'm out on the other side, and I can accept it, and I'm aware of it, and I understand it, but I don't have to be there. I don't have to.
It's so important that everybody knows that.
Mm-hmm. It's a choice.
It's a choice. Mm-hmm. And part of the healing work is doing all that shadow work, so you're not lost in those wounds. So then you have enough presence of mind and consciousness to step on the brakes and say, hey, I have a choice right now to feel better. And which way am I going to go? But when you haven't done that healing work, you're just kind of lost in all of the triggers and the chaos. Right. But once you start clearing all these things, you come into yourself and your higher self, and you have that bandwidth to slam on the brakes and be like, no, I choose something better for me at every moment. Right. And it's normal to get stuck. You know, we're still human and part of that human experience, but you have a choice, and that's so powerful.
Yeah. Staying at the DMV, I don't even remember the date, but okay, I lost my shit 5 times.
You have to be very enlightened not to lose your shit in a DMV, because that's how you really know where you're at on your spiritual journey, right?
At one point, I just put my head like this. I'm like, okay, breathe. Just breathe. Breathe. Okay, breathe. And then at night when I was sleeping, I was like, okay, I'm really sorry that I lost my crap right there. That was a test. Yeah. Yeah. And it's faster, right? So the more that you practice it and the more you're aware of it, I didn't climb Mount Everest. I did, you know, wasn't mean to for the rest of the month. I fixed it like right then and there.
Right. You caught yourself. So not necessarily that you won't ever lose your shit, but if you do, you catch yourself and recover a lot quicker.
Right.
And kind of assess the damage and take care of any collateral damage.
Right. And I accepted that responsibility. I didn't blame, I mean, at the moment I blamed everybody, but and when I took back, I'm like, wow, right? I could have gotten up an hour earlier. That was a choice I made, right? I didn't have to get up at 5. I could have gotten up at 4 and been online earlier. I could have, you know, but anyway.
So. You're so much fun. You're a great teacher. And this, again, this has been wonderful. Everyone, I will drop all of her contact information in the show notes so you know where to find her. What is your Instagram?
@kmalley83.
Okay. Are there any dashes or underscores or any? No?
No.
Okay. @kmalley83.
Yeah.
Perfect. And your website is?
goingtokims.org or .com. I bought both of them.
Great. Yes. Always a good idea. Yeah. To buy the popular ones. And then your Facebook. I had to check your Facebook because your Facebook is just Kim's.
Yeah. Well, the story behind that is what was I going to do? Right. So I was like, you know, when people are going to be virtual, like I never saw myself as a PR, like, I don't know, mass advertising. But I always, like Ida, my teacher, I was like, people, when I talk about her, they're like, well, where did you learn this? And I was like, well, I went to Ida's. And I thought, I'm going to Kim's. Why not? Because if you're going to, right, where are you going? I'm going to Kim's. And I thought that to me was, that resonated. And then it just shortened, you know, in case I ever have to pick up a phone. I'm like, hi, it's Kim's. Yeah. So going to Kim's is kind of
going to Kim's. Yeah, got it. Yep, we're all going to Kim's.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes. Just you're going to Kim's.
Awesome. Well, I could talk to you all day.
I told you. Front door, 20 minutes, then to the car. Yeah, finally, somebody's got to say it's enough. It's time.
Oh, good. All right. It's a wrap, folks. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you guys for being here. I know that your time is the most valuable thing you have. It means the world to me that you're here. There are many more cool episodes coming, so go subscribe on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen. If this episode inspired you, please leave a review so this show can reach more people who need healing. Every month, I'm giving away my productivity planner to one lucky listener who shares the show on Instagram and tags me at @NatalieOneLove. Again, thank you for being here. I love you guys. See you in the next episode.